Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have Heath Fletcher here with me. And Heath is the owner of Sporing, which is a full-service digital marketing agency located in British Columbia, Canada. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about agency growth. We'll be talking about Heath's journey of building his agency and how he maintains happy clients along the way. So thanks so much for joining me today, Heath.
Hey, you're welcome, Julia. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, excited to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So to get started, I'd love to know what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner.
It's really delivering products, services to clients and helping them achieve their goals and seeing how they respond to what we do and how it improves their overall position in their industry. So I love seeing the outcome, really. It's my favorite.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so I would love it if you could share with us your journey of starting Sporing, you know, how you got into digital marketing and then how it led you to starting your own agency.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a bit of a story, but I mean, I guess, you know, it was, I started my journey in this industry 30 years ago. So it was before digital marketing even existed. So, you know, I actually really began as a photographer. I did photographic training and actually I was also in pre-digital too. It was all film, chemicals, paper, like old school. And so, you know, that from that end of it, I had to also journey through that transition of moving from, you know, that kind of the traditional photographic world in through a digital world. Again, also in and shortly after I finished my photography work, I went into graphic design. Again, that was early days of digital or desktop publishing. So, you know, the old software, like a lot of people will remember Quark Express and PageMaker and things like that. And it's, you know, those are the things that we learned on Photoshop 2.0. I think I'm going way back, right? And those were that was the beginning stages of my career in this industry, because those two mediums kind of introduced me to a lot of people, you know, either through, you know, they want me to do their photograph or design a logo or business cards. And so I freelanced for a long time. I freelanced for probably two decades where I just ran my own business and collaborated with a lot of people. Collaboration has always been a driver for me, because if I took on projects that were larger than my skill set, then I would seek out someone to work with, someone who had those extra skill sets, particularly when we got into the digital era and the web industry was taking off and everybody wanted a website. And that really isn't my skill set. I'm not that technical. And I threw a few websites together in my time, but really wasn't my thing. And I had to understand that and focus on where I wanted to be. But the gateway for me into that industry was definitely through the photographic side of things, the visual side, the design. And those two things combined just sort of drove me right into marketing. Because once you get started on any of those, either of those pieces, you know, people are always wondering, well, what do I do next? You know, what do I add on to this? Or can you do this at a brochure? And can you make this into that? And it's the same way that I ended up in video production as well, as it was a natural progression. And as we all have seen the changes in marketing in general, everything has come together now. There's everything's connected, right?
Yes.
What we do for clients or what clients ask for, ultimately it all ends up driving some sort of online data that we can collect, and that gives us results, right. Shows us what succeeds and what doesn't. So that's what I find really interesting about my career, is that, you know, everything was quite siloed and compartmentalized when I started. And now, you know, 30 years later, it's all come together in this sort of melting pot of creativity and tech and innovation. It's pretty amazing to have seen that whole thing transpire. Like when I started my career, there was no internet.
Wow. That's so. Myself,
but I mean, it's like there was no internet. There's no debit cards. Like it's a different world. I got to tell you,
yeah,
a different world. But it's been fascinating to see the transition and the changes, and be part of that change, and be part of all that.
Absolutely.
That movement. Yeah.
Very cool. So for about 2 decades, you freelanced, and is that when you decided to start exploring?
Yeah, so I moved to the Okanagan around 2005, and we were here to raise our kids and raise our family, and I wanted to transition into more commercial work and do bigger projects. So I started doing that locally, connecting in the business community, and trying to get a handle on what was going on here. And it's funny, I came from Calgary. That's where I started. And so there's obviously bigger business in Calgary. There's more manufacturing, there's more tech, there's more industry. And then so coming here, it was like, wow, it's a smaller community. There's only 80,000 people here, you know, in my city. And then, you know, in the valley, you know, we got Kelowna down the street, which isn't too bad. They're about 150,000-200,000. Mm-hmm. So it's still definitely a much smaller region to go into. But I went very local. I went very grassroots to start with, and really started working with individuals, solopreneurs, small businesses, and starting building that up. And then I met my first business partner in Sproing. He was a web developer and designer. Oh. So we ended up on the same project. Yeah. So we ended up on the same project and worked really well together. And then we eventually moved his business in with mine. I had a commercial space, and then we just kind of traded customers back and forth. Like mine needed what he had and his needed what I had. And so it sort of really worked really well together, and we decided to merge. And that's what we did. So
amazing.
We hired a business coach to help us with the merge, because neither had a clue how to go about this. And so we hired a business coach. His name was Riel. Mm-hmm. And he helped us with that phase. We decided to just sort of dissolve our other two businesses and start fresh, brand new name. And that's where Sproing came, which was a.
Is that what the coach? Sorry, I just had a quick question there. Is that what the coach advised? Is that you guys dissolve the two names and then start a new name fresh, or was that your idea?
It was a discussion. The three of us discussed a lot of the ups and downs of doing one or the other, and in the end, we kind of just all have felt it was right to just, you know, put those other companies aside. And move on with something fresh and new. Plus, from my perspective, being more on the visual branding side, I wanted something fresh. I didn't want to take the old brand with me. And so I wanted something fresh, something new, something that spoke more to this collaborative effort that we were bringing together. That's where it came down to, is making that decision and rebranding and renaming. Yeah. And no one knew, you know, no one, being freelancers, we were really, I would say probably people knew who we were as people. They knew our businesses, but I think our strength was that people were familiar with us as, he was very well known in the web world. I was more well known from a graphic design standpoint. And so bringing those two together, I don't think that changing our brand or changing the name had any kind of negative impact. I think it had significant benefits to moving forward.
Interesting. Okay. Hmm. And then, so, you know, moving from being a freelancer to, you know, now having a partner, you know, you're working with this agency coach, What was the biggest change that you had to sort of deal with whenever you were, you know, building the agency from at the beginning?
Well, that's a good question, because, you know, when we hired Riel to coach us through this process, you know, he asked us some pretty significant questions. And this is where I really understood the importance of strategy and how, mm-hmm. you know, creating a plan for moving forward was such an important thing. And he sat us both down and just said, you know, I want you guys to tell me what you want your work life to look like, because you're starting fresh. So it's time to look at who you guys want to be as far as owners and leaders or whatever. And mm-hmm. how does that look? Like, what does that look like to you? And yeah. And he goes, like, I want you to be really specific. Like, I want you to tell me what time you want to come into the office, what time you want to leave, like how long you want to be there, which days of the week you want to work, how many days off do you want, you know, how much do you want to make, you know, tell me everything you want your work place to look like.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, it was really good. And it was a hard thing to do, because it was like, okay, well, get out of your freelance head and sit down and think about what this means as somebody that's leading something that could be a little bit bigger. And so yeah. I sat down, I wrote down all the things, and I, you know, when we met again, I handed him my paper, and he's reading the paper, and he goes, so you want to work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. You want a consistent paycheck every 2 weeks. You want benefits. You want weekends and paid holidays. It's like, so you really just want a job? Like, yeah, I guess I do. I really just want to. I was, you know, I'd been freelancing for 2 decades, and I was like, yeah, really exhausted. Like, it's a lot of work. You're never off. You're always on. You know, if you're not yep. working, you're not getting paid. If you're not getting paid, you're not paying your bills. And so it's a different pace, and your mind's always going, and it, you know, sometimes it's there's peaks and valleys. Mm-hmm. And I wanted something more consistent, more sort of level and dependable and reliable. So he was like, perfect, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. And so for, you know, that was, he says, this is kind of your plan now, is to work towards creating this work life for you. Yeah, we did it. It got me exactly what I wanted in that time of my life, which That's was, cool. you know, we were working out of my garage. So, I mean, yeah, it sounds bad, but it was a renovated garage. It was nicely put together. It was super comfortable.
Nice.
And so it was in my backyard. It was at my house, but it wasn't in my house. So it was separate in that sense that I was able to detach it. And we had 2 young kids, and I really wanted to be able to create that separation so that I wasn't always working, you know, and really detach myself from it in a way where it's like, it's where I go to work, and I don't do it, you know, all night long, all day long, 7 days.
Yeah, exactly.
So it kind of created the lifestyle that I was really, really looking for. And it kind of blew my mind. But that's what was my first introduction to, you know, business coaching or business strategy, and about how, you know, business owners really need to adopt some of those things, like, before we embark on marketing. As a result, you know, a few years later, we learned such a great lesson from working with Riel on that strategic piece that we ended up sending most of our clients through him before we started working with them on their marketing, because we just thought,
oh, you know, interesting.
These people need some direction. They, you know, sure, you know, you want a website. Yeah, you need some business cards. Yeah, you need a brochure for your business. But really, you know, those were just pieces that they needed, but there was really nothing, there was no plan behind it, you know?
Right.
Anyway, once long after that, we made Riel a partner and made strategy a very significant part of everything we do. And in fact, now we're a strategy first agency. You know, we don't do anything without a strategy.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
And then, so whenever you were working with Riel, did you and your business partner at the time, did you run into any situations where, you know, you're talking about, you know, maybe how many hours you wanted to be working, or, you know, what the vision of the company was, and maybe your visions or your ideas didn't line up and you had to compromise on anything? Did that arise, or did you guys find that you were pretty much on the same page with a lot of things?
Yeah, most of that, you know, because I think we came from very similar backgrounds, being freelancers and working independently and working on our own. I think we both had a very similar vision of what we wanted.
Right.
As far as a work life, for Riel, when he became a partner, though, you know, he was adamant he wanted to grow a business, and wanted to make sure that was what we were both on board for too. You know, are you open to growing this business? Because it'll require some effort. It's going to require some dedication. It's going to require us making changes. Maybe, you know, adding process
hours or.
Yeah, it might require a little bit of that for sure. Yeah, and so yeah, we were like, yeah, let's do it. And that was great. That growth stage started. That probably started in 2015, 2014, somewhere around there. And we've kind of continuously grown ever since. So he kind of laid the strategy out for where we wanted to go and what to do. And that's, we've just been following that, you know, blueprint. Yeah, you know, there's some side tracks and some off-roading you have to do from time to time. But but at least having the plan, what I discovered was having the plan, there's always something to come back to, even if you do get sidetracked, you know, because of things like, you know, global pandemics.
So one thing I would love to know is, you know, how has your strategy for bringing in new clients to grow Spraying, how has that evolved over the years?
That's a really good question. How has our strategy grown or changed for our growth? Well, certainly, backing up to when we were first rolling things out, we were working with a lot of contractors. So there was the three of us, plus we had a couple of employees. Everybody else was contractors. So everything we were doing on the outside, we had probably 10 contractors working with on a regular basis. And so, you know, Riel wanted us to introduce a bigger employment model, right? And bringing on more employees. So we kind of gathered everyone together and we sat them down and we're like, this is what we're going to do. We want to grow the company. We are looking at, Riel created a org chart, and we said we wanted to offer anybody here who wants to have a job and become an employee to do that. So, you know, half the room.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really kind of cool because half the room put their hands up and half the room didn't. And which was fine. Yeah, it wasn't a deal breaker for anybody either way. So those that put their hand up became employees, and the others kept their contractor status, and we continued working with them. Some we still work with today. And then some of those employees are still with us today too. So, you know, it was a great move. We continued going down that road, the employment model, and keeping everything in house after that. And the strategy for growth was to continue not only looking at sales, but we did some acquisitions along the way where we picked up some smaller solo or partnership based firms that were doing web design, hosting, or graphic design and marketing, and collected those along the way. We did that a few times as well, and that was part of our strategic growth plan. We were well on our way, and then of course 2020 came along and
flipped everything upside down.
Everything sort of changed, you know. And so now we're looking at how we provide services now, just based on the challenges of employment right now, of finding talent and getting people who want to work as employees is difficult. Or last year we found it was very difficult.
Yes. Yeah. That's definitely an issue. I hear, you know, across the board, it's definitely really hard finding someone who's, you know, a good fit for culture and, you know, also the talent. So, I hear you on that. And so with regards to bringing in more leads into your agency, is that, you know, mostly on a referral basis, or are you guys doing, you know, any cold outreach or email campaigns? What does that look like?
A lot of our client base came from referrals. As I said earlier on, you know, when I started this company, it was very sort of grassroots, very community driven. In fact, the way I built our brand in early days was I approached all the nonprofits and organizations that had fundraising events, and I offered photographic services to those events to cover their events, to provide them with imagery to use to promote the events in coming years. Mm-hmm. And also to sort of expose us more to a larger set of people. Nonprofits are typically, you know, run by boards. Those boards typically are seated with people from all kinds of backgrounds. You know, they've been business owners, they've been CEOs, they've been CFOs and COOs and managers and directors. And, you know, now they're doing community work and they're giving their talent and their experiences to those organizations. So it's a great way to actually meet people who have a lot of experience, not only in business, but in the community. So we did a ton of that. And that was a really big part of who we were as a company in our city. We were so busy with that. And that grew our business substantially.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Did you join a specific organization? Because I know I'm personally involved with my local Rotary Club. And yeah, it's such a great way to meet people in the community, and a lot of the members are entrepreneurs. So I was just curious.
Yeah, those organizations are excellent. I'm a big Chamber of Commerce supporter.
Okay.
Our Chamber of Commerce has been incredible. It was one of the first things I joined moving here. And it's very community driven. It's, you know, we're a smaller city, so it's a tighter network of people. You get to know people pretty quickly. Yeah. But it's an amazing part of our journey here in business. And, you know, it was a great launch pad for us. At one point, we wanted to introduce video production. And this was early when video was starting to take off as far as a creative content. And we wanted to introduce this service. And we approached the local Chamber of Commerce, and they do an annual business awards. And it was your typical business award. They would, you know, announce the, you know, who the nominations were and who the three finalists were, and they would make the announcement. It was a big dinner, and people would come and have you know, balloon drops and 50-50, and it was an event people went to. And mm-hmm. so they wanted to do something a little bit different, kind of raise the bar a little bit and start introducing something more visual, more entertaining. So we sort of pitched on doing videos for all the contests, all the nominations. And so we put together this plan. It was a bit crazy, but they have 30, there's 33. Okay. So there's 33 awards. Sorry, not 33 awards. There's 33 finalists. So when you get through the nomination, okay. 33 finalists, and then those 33 finalists, there's one winner for each award. So the plan was to go out and shoot, once we knew who the finalists were, the plan was to go out and shoot 33 30-second videos, commercials of these organizations, and then come back and put them together and put on this sort of like film festival business, you know, excellence awards and entertain the crowd. And the theme of that year was called Mad Men.
Okay. And
so, yeah, it was great. And so people really got on board, and businesses, and we went and we filmed these videos, and we it was amazing. It was a lot of work. We had to pull it off in 3 weeks, but we did it.
Oh, wow.
And, we released those videos in that evening, and it was like going to the Oscars. It was really fun. You know, people were so thrilled to see themselves on the screen. Plus they were entertained, like the evening went super fast and everyone really loved it. So that was a big kickoff for us for launching our video production services. Nice. And after that, yeah, it kind of flew after that. And, but yeah, you know, to answer your question, the Chamber has been a really big supporter of ours and it's a really tight knit organization here. And even in the Valley, they, because we're a smaller area, there's probably three or four chambers that unite and have valley-wide events and things like that.
Okay.
So, you know, that would include Penticton, Kelowna, Salmon Arm, Kamloops, and so it's a great network actually. So love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome, and that's such a great idea for launching a new service. Is coming up with a creative launch like that. I love that.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was fun. Yeah, that was a great night.
Very good. So I'd love to know, what's one big challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Sporing, and how have you overcome that challenge?
It's got to be, okay, well, I mean, the regular challenges that we all face, cash flow, you know, keeping the pipe filled, you know, those are ongoing challenges sometimes. I would say probably the most significant one now was as a result of COVID and the employment piece. That was a big challenge. It was really, that primarily was a kind of peaked for us in last year.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys a remote team or do you?
No, everyone came back. So we came back from COVID and everyone had gone home. We came back from COVID and we thought, well, maybe the remote thing is what's the future. Maybe that's what's going to happen. And, everyone came back and we said, okay, so who wants to go remote? Does everyone want to stay working at home? And nobody wanted to just work from home, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, there was one or two that said they'd like to work home, you know, maybe 2 days a week or something like that. But most people were just like, no, I don't want to work at home. And so we were like, okay, well, that's great. So let's get everyone back. Let's get back to work. And then sort of the frenzy started happening and we had a few people that got poached, you know, some techs that left the company and for greener pastures. And, you know, I don't blame them. There were some American companies that were paying really good money for techs. And and so that started the challenge for us. It was really in the tech department originally. And we were placing Indeed ads and, you know, we couldn't compete financially with some of those companies were offering. So we just sat down and we were like, you know, I think we're going to have to just start advertising for contractors instead. And it was really interesting. You know, the minute we changed our ad from an employment ad to a contractor ad, we got flooded with resumes.
Wow, and interesting.
We were like, holy cow. Okay, so there are people out there that want to work. They just want to work on their own terms. They want to work on their own turf. They want to set their own hours. They want to, you know, they want to freelance. And, you know, I've been there. I get it. I loved it.
Yep.
So it was interesting. It almost like we came full circle because that's how we started the business with full contractor model. And now we're really great hybrid. We got a really great core team of full-time people who are really kind of morphed into more subject matter experts and project leads and product owners. And they had to learn, you know, over the last year, how to manage contractors, because that's a whole new scenario.
Important skill.
And working with people remotely where you've got, you know, probably two or three members of your who's working on a project with you. And then maybe a contractor or two as well. And sort of keeping, you know, those things in line and air traffic controlling that. And so there was some learning curves, but, you know, we've actually come through. It's actually working really well. It's great. It's offered actually a lot of opportunities for us to work with not just techs now, we're working with web designers, web developers, graphic designers. And we were lucky. We've had some amazing talent in our four walls over the years. And but you know, we don't, now we're actually, we have access to people who are specialties, you know, people who have niche, they're niche designers in packaging, for example, or niche designers in wine labels. And there are people that all they do is wine labels, or all they do is packaging. And
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of designers out there that are, you know, jack of all trades. They can pretty much design just about anything. But, you know, some of those areas like packaging is a very niche thing, you know, and there's a lot of, there's a lot to know about packaging. So it kind of opened up some doors for us. Also some people, some designers and developers that are specialists in their own fields as well. And it kind of just gave us a little bit more freedom for who we can work with and want to work with.
Well, Heath, we're now ready to move on to the fast five. So I'm going to have five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
That sounds good. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
That's going to have to be a book called Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. It's an eye opener for business owners, freelancers, doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. I read it first. I gave it to my business partner and, we're implementing it, and, it's kind of mind blowing. It's good. It's awesome.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Oh, it starts with coffee, 100%. Strong coffee and some quiet time. I wake up really slowly, so it's a couple hours, do some stretches, take the dog for a walk, and then head off, shower, dress, go to work. Yeah.
Perfect. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Actually, there's a local one here. Her name is Jay Sigmuller. There's a lot of great CEOs, but Jay, I've known her for quite a few years. She's grown an empire since we've been here. She's been on the Dragon's Den, and I just her and her sister have a company together. She's started a company here called Farm Bound that has done incredible things in the food, sustainable food spectrum. And I don't know, I just really admire her, you know, as a woman, as a local community person, a single mom for a period of time of her life. And she, you know, stays grounded, and she does amazing work. So I'm always admire her and inspired by her as well.
Very good. Oh, I love that. And what is your favorite online tool?
Oh, that has to be Expensify.
Okay. Very good.
Funny. But it keeps me organized. I'm not kidding. When it comes to the receipts and keeping all my personal expenses, work expenses, stuff like that, I love it.
Yep. Perfect. That's awesome. And then the last question I have for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Oh, profit first. I wish I'd read that book when I started my career. It just changes the way you see you manage your money. It's incredible. Liked it.
That's a really great suggestion. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
but it's a different mindset. Profit first is a very different mindset. We don't always think that way. You think we all know we all want that, but it's a different mindset. So it's a change and it's a shift for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're, you know, a naturally kind of creative person, you got into, the agency life because that's, you know, what you're passionate about. It's not always something that you're really educated on. So really taking that time as an entrepreneur and, you know, changing that mindset surrounding your profit in your business, I think is so important. I agree.
Yeah. And like we touched on it right at the very beginning when we were talking, was about understanding your strengths and your weaknesses and knowing where to put other people and rely on other people to do some components of your business that you just really shouldn't be messing around with. And for me, you know, that's where it was all about staying out of the numbers kitchen and the financial kitchen. Of course, I have a good understanding of it all, but it's not something that's innate to me. So something like that to our CEO is important, you know, and I understand that and I accept it. So, and I focus on other things. He does not like creating stuff. So that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to know your strengths for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Heath, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. It's been a pleasure to learn about your journey of starting and growing Sproing. So thank you for being today's guest.
Thanks, Julia. I really appreciate being on the show, and it was a great chat.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.